ओम श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ओम सदाशिव समारंभां शंकराचार्य मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंतां वंदे गुरु परंपरां। ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। So we were looking at verse number 41. Adharma abhibhavat Krishna pradushyanti kulastriyaha strishu dushtasu varshneya jayate varnasankaraha. So the previous verse was kulakshaye pranashyanti kuladharmaha sanatanaha धर्मे नष्टे कुलं कृत्स्नम् अधर्मः अभिभवति उत। सो कुलक्षये, सो व्हेन ऑल दोस कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स व्हिच आर डिफाइनिंग अ कुला, सो यू शुड रिमेंबर ऑल द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स दैट आर डिफाइनिंग अ कुला। सो देयर आर 9 कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स, सो वी वेंट इनटू डिटेल to all of them in detail in the last class. Acharaha, Vinayaha, Vidya, Pratishtha, Tirtha Darshanam, and then Nishtha, Vrittihi, Tapo, Danam, Navadha, Kulalakshanam. So Acharaha is conduct, so habits. Vidya, vidya is the knowledge that is coming down over generations from the ancestors. Vinaya, modesty, humility. So as a trait that has been practiced. And Vidya. So Acharaha, Vinayaha, Vidya, Pratishtha. Pratishtha are the value systems. So passed down from one generation to the next. So Pratishtha. And then Tirtha Darshanam. So the practice of going on pilgrimages. So that's why in India, the economy is primarily a religious economy. Because the economy itself, so money is spent mainly for religious purposes. Money was spent for rituals, for performing rituals. And then money was spent for going to different places as a pilgrimage. And that is how the economy also was sustained. And Tirtha Darshanam also plays a very important role in the larger picture, so in the growth of the individual. So the society had certain places, so which were considered necessary to be visited in one's lifetime. So Kashi, Rameshwaram, and there are so many other Tirthakshetras, Dwadasha Jyotirlinga. Even now people I mean, consider it as their prime duty to visit all these places at least once in their lifetime. So that is also one of the kula dharmas. And then nishtha. So nishtha is faith in the Almighty, faith in Ishvara. So earlier it was passed on very seamlessly and without much effort, but nowadays there is a lot of effort needed to also pass on this Shraddha. Because of the way we are educated, we think lack of Shraddha is a fancy thing to do. So it's a cool thing to do. So saying that I don't believe in God, so I don't believe in the Almighty. So that seems a very, very cool thing to do, unfortunately. But this Shraddha is also passed down as a kula dharma from one generation to another. And then vrittihi. So the intricacies of one's own profession. So the son also followed the father's profession and the father also followed his father's profession. So it is passed on from one generation to another. So that also forms a part of kula dharma. Nishta vrittihi tapo, tapas. So tapas are the austerities, tapas and dhanam, and the attitude to share one's wealth, to give for the right causes. So that was also considered kula dharma. So where if the father, so he gave to certain causes, and because he felt that it was necessary to support those causes, then the son also naturally imbibes those qualities from the father. So dhanam, so sharing one's wealth, sharing one's knowledge. So in so many ways, so that is also passed down. So these are the nine components of kula dharma. So again, so it's good to remember all these nine. Acharaha, vinayaha, vidya, pratishtha, tirtha darshanam. And then nishtha, vrittihi, tapo, danam, navadha, kula lakshanam. So that is why Krishna says here, kulakshaye pranashyanti kuladharmaha sanatanaha. Dharme nashte kulam kritsnam adharmaha abhibhavati yuta. So when these kuladharmas are not preserved, Arjuna feels that these kuladharmas would be destroyed if the people are destroyed, if the people are killed. Because preserving kuladharma happens by preserving the people who are by protecting the people who are responsible for preserving the kula dharma. In a war, everyone is going to get killed. So that is why he feels the kula dharma will get affected, will get destroyed. So sanatana, so eternal kula dharmas. And when kula dharmas are destroyed, so then dharma gets destroyed because the dharmi is destroyed. The one who is practicing dharma is destroyed. So that is why we talked about conversion and how that plays such a big havoc in preserving the knowledge traditions and the culture of the country. Adharmaha abhibhavati uta. Adharma will increase. Then he says, adharma abhibhavat Krishna pradushyanti kulastriyaha. So when adharma increases, then the women of the society also take to immoral practices. So immoral ways. Because women, so in the Indian society at least, so they were not oriented towards going out and working. That's a recent phenomenon. So women also having a separate profession, separate career. So when there is no one to bring in the money required to support the family, then the woman will have to necessarily take to immoral ways. So, adharma abhibhavat Krishna pradushyanti kulastriyaha strishu dushtasu varshneya jayate varna sankaraha. So, when the women take to immoral ways, then varna sankaraha happens. Intermixing of varnas. So, that is why in India, so marriages are also performed. People try to perform marriages within their own kula. So, their own community. So, that is one of the main reasons is to preserve the kula dharma. So, here Arjuna says, so when intermixing happens, then the kula dharma, so that will get affected, and because varna sankara will happen. So, this is why I also mentioned, so why this whole concept of conversion marriage as a tool for converting people. So, like love jihad. So, that is not a good thing because it destroys the knowledge traditions, the culture, and then the attitudes, the value system, everything it destroys. When marriage is made a tool for converting people. So, now also it is happening. And so there Arjuna is worried it will happen because of a different reason. Because the people are killed in the war. See, all these things can be related to our present circumstances also. So, but the idea that we can take from here is that Varna Sankara is not a good thing. Intermixing of castes, intermixing of communities is not a good thing because of the value systems and traditions that are preserved and which are necessary in terms of the growth of the individual and the society. So these value systems are necessary primarily for the individual's growth, because the whole culture is designed to make a person grow into a stage where he or she becomes eligible for pursuing self-knowledge. Every activity of the culture or everything in the culture is designed only for this purpose. So that is why Varna Sankara is not a good thing. Then he continues. Still Krishna has not started talking. In fact, Krishna will keep quiet. So till the 11th chapter of the, 11th verse of the second chapter. So till then, Arjuna will continue to talk. No, before that also, a couple of verses are there. So, but Arjuna will not talk till the second chapter. Verse number 42. Sankaro narakayaiva kulagnanam kulasya cha patanti pitaro hyesham lupta pindoda kakriyaha. So another important custom of the culture. Sankaraha narakaha narakaya eva. So when sankara happens, intermixing happens, then it will necessarily result in Naraka. So Naraka are places where one suffers. That is the etymological meaning of the word Naraka also. So why does one suffer? So like in Christianity, all of us do not suffer because of the sin committed by Adam and Eve. So we suffer because of our own karma. So each one of us is responsible, accountable for our own karma. We don't suffer because of the actions of someone, I mean, much earlier. So, someone who has lived much before us, and we are supposed to have descended from that person. So here, when Sankara happens, then it will lead to people going to Naraka, suffering in Naraka. So when one dies, when the body drops off, so then based on one's own Punya and Papa, one goes to different lokas. If one has a lot of Punya, then one goes to higher lokas. And if one has accumulated Papa, then one goes to these lower lokas. So again, all this shows intense faith in life after death. So this whole life on the earth is used as a preparation or as a means for ensuring oneself for what happens after death. So now we are worried only about what happens in this lifetime, in the present lifetime. So my family, my son, my children, my property. But people in the Indian culture, so they had this tremendous belief in life after death. So this lifetime is only a very small component of my journey. So of the bigger picture. So I prepare, or I can actually make sure what happens after this body drops off, after I die. So Narakaya Eva. So if Varnasankara happens, then it will lead to Naraka. Kulagnanam kulasyacha. So for those people, for the society, and those who destroy the society, destroyers of these value systems. Why? Because one of the reasons he points out here is because one is not able to offer whatever needs to be offered to one's ancestors. So, lupta pinda udaka kriyaha. The necessity of performing the rites for one's ancestors, one's father, shraddha karma. So again, it has become a fashion nowadays to not do all these things. So, but shraddha karma is considered a very important duty of the son, of the children. So daughter, because she gets married into a different family, so then she supports her husband do this duty for the ancestors. And son does this for his own father and mother and other people. So grandfather. So the faith is that whatever one offers during those days, in the first year, after the death of the father. So these rituals are performed every month. So 2 days every month. And after the first year, these rituals are performed 1 day every year. The idea is that they have dropped this body and then they have gone to a different dimension. Like if a person goes to Pitruloka, then 1 year on the, so the time also is calculated differently in those dimensions. So 1 year on the earth is equivalent to 1 day in Pitruloka. So that is why the offerings are done one day every year. Because it is like giving them food every day. So as far as they are concerned, as far as we are concerned, so 1 year has passed on the earth. But as far as the person in the Pitruloka is concerned, only 1 day has passed because they live in a different dimension. So time zone. So how time is calculated there. So that is why, so you offer here, and then the faith is that, because the Vedas say that, the faith is that whatever you offer, in a subtle form, it reaches the person in a different loka. That is one of the reasons. And the other reason is that, so doing this Shraddha Karma helps one overcome one's own grief of being separated from this person. In a psychological way also. So immediately after the person dies, the 13-day ritual, it helps in a big way in also managing one's own grief, one's own sorrow. Because if someone very near, very dear to us has passed away, then there is some sorrow. There is some sorrow of separation. And nowadays, sometimes the person is not able to overcome sorrow. It goes into the subconscious. So losing one's father, sometimes losing one's own son or daughter. So that really destroys people, and then it is never, the person is never able to overcome that grief. So when one understands these Shraddha Karmas, the meaning of the mantras of Shraddha Karmas, then it also goes a long way in managing one's grief and sorrow. So overcoming one's sorrow. So that is why performing these rituals and remembering these people one day every year. So one reason is for my own psychological well-being. And the other reason is also remembering the values that they have passed on to us. So you remember that person, you remember certain incidents, and then within those incidents are mixed up all the important knowledge that we learn from the life of the person, knowledge that we get from how the person lived his or her life. So that also becomes very important. So performing rituals, these Shraddha Karma. So that is why Arjuna says, Lupta Pinda Udaka Kriya. So all these rituals, so the customs and Shraddha Karma, if you look at, so there are variations from one family to another family also. So how the Shraddha Karma is performed. So there are within the Kula, so there is this broad framework in which the Shraddha Karma is performed. And within the family also, so there is people have certain ways in which it is done. Even the food items that is prepared. So one family prepares certain food items on the day of Shraddha. So another family prepares a different food items on the day of Shraddha. So like that. So all these things will get lost. So Lupta Pinda Udaka Kriya, the whole practice itself will go away, because the methods of performing these practices will not be passed on from one generation to another. Then verse number 43. Doshai retai kulagnanam varnasankara karakaihi utsadyante jati dharmaha. So, etaihi doshaihi kulagnanam varna sankara karakaihi. By these undesirable actions of people who destroy the family. So, kulagnanam Varna Sankara Karakai, who destroy the society and the Varnas and the individual different sections of the society. Society as a whole and also the individual sections. Utsadhyante jati dharmaha kula dharmaha cha shashvataha. Utsadhyante. So they are up, all these are uprooted. What are uprooted? So jati dharmaha and kula dharmaha. One's own family traditions and one's own societal traditions. So both are uprooted, both are destroyed. So family traditions are like a subset of society traditions. So as Indians, we have certain traditions. And then as people belonging to different states, we have a subset. So which is part of the larger subset. And then as people belonging to certain communities, we have certain traditions. So that is another subset. And then as people belonging to families in various communities, so then there are smaller subsets, so which are all connected. So one is not separated from the other. So it all fits into the larger picture. So even though there may be individual variations, but collectively, in terms of the bigger picture, so they are all connected and lead to the same destination. So that is why he says all these will be destroyed and it is not desirable. Then, verse number 44. Utsannakula dharmanam. Manushyanam janardana narake niyatam vasaha bhavati ityanu shushruma. So utsanna kula dharmanam. So those who are the causes for destroying all this. Those who are the reasons for destroying all of this. And utsanna kula dharmanam manushyanam. For both kula dharma and people. And those who destroy these families, traditions, and those people. He Janardana narake niyatam vasaha. So we have heard that these people will only necessarily end up in Naraka. So he's talking about himself here. So I'm going to be the cause of killing all these people. So I'm thinking I'm fighting this war for a certain purpose. But now I find that even though I may enjoy these short-term benefits, in the longer term, it is only going to result in Naraka. So the long-term, bad effects of my karma, so that is very, very significant. And in fact, this short-term benefit, it's not worthwhile. The short-term benefits are not worthwhile in terms of the long-term difficulties that I will face, troubles I will undergo because of my actions. Narake niyatam vasaha. So I will remain in Naraka forever. So not even for a small duration, for a short time, but forever I will remain in Naraka. So this is, fighting the war does not seem like a very, very right thing for us to do. See, again, it's all a result of confusion. So they have been preparing for this war for years and suddenly overcome by compassion and affection and attachment for all these people. Arjuna feels that whatever I have been doing, whatever I'm going to be doing now, so is detrimental in terms of my own future. Then he is trying to conclude verse number 45.
Aho batamahat papam kartum vyavasitavayam yadrajya sukhalobhena hantum svajanam udyataha.
Aho, alas. Aho bata mahat papam, the greatest papa. So again, papa, we don't translate it as sin because of the meaning that sin brings in. So it is not the action performed by someone, one of my ancestors, at the beginning of creation. So I'm not suffering because of something done by Adam and Eve. I suffer only because of whatever I do or I have done earlier. So that is why Mahat Papam is, so this Papa, great Papa, we are setting out to commit. So Kartum Yavasita Vayam. So we are all, so he includes, so all of them, the Pandavas, maybe even Krishna also. So you are also part of this. So have you not thought about this? So because you will also be responsible. So again, Krishna, he doesn't look at Krishna as Ishvara here. So he looks at Krishna as his own peer. So as his own cousin. So we are all going to, because as Ishvara, so one does not incur any punya or papa. So Ishvara, so he is ruled, he is governed by a different set of rules. So but as far as Arjuna is concerned, because Krishna is a physical person in front of Arjuna, he says, we are all going to incur so much papa and we will suffer, not just me, but all of us will suffer. Kartum vyavasita vayam, we are all setting out to do this terrible activity, terrible thing.
Yat rajya sukha lobhena hantum svajanam udyataha.
So why are we setting out to do this? Because of greed for the kingdom and all the luxuries that come along with it. So again, the assumption is that one should do something which is always try to do something only that which is helpful for one's own spiritual growth. Not do something that is primarily intended for material welfare. Because material benefit is only in the short term. Material benefit is only in this lifetime. When we die, we are not going to carry all our wealth with us. So someone else is going to enjoy. And we also don't know when we will quit. So what is the guarantee we will look? We'll live for 80, 85 years or 90 years. So every step of the way, you are always having the larger picture in your mind. You are preparing for the afterlife, after this life. So after what happens after this body falls away. Not in terms, in the sense of a pessimistic way, not in a cynical way,
but in terms of a realistic, practical way. So, because what gives the guarantee that we will live forever? So, we just assume that I will live for 85 years or 90 years. But people come with different prarabdha. Some people live, go away a little early. So, some people go a little later. So, that is the attitude with which one approaches life. Making full use of the opportunity given to me at this time, at this moment. Not put away one's spiritual growth for after retirement. So, for the end of my life, when I become useless to do anything else. So, generally people say, I will study the Gita after retirement. So, but studying the Gita requires a lot of understanding. In fact, you study the Gita to live a better life, to live a good life. So, what will you do if you learn, if you study the Gita after you have lived your life? So, what is the purpose of studying the Gita? So, you need to study the Gita only to learn how to live your life. So, it's better. One starts studying the Gita as early as possible. So that is why here Arjuna says, and we are doing this here. He has just assumed now that they are fighting the war only for a material benefit, either for ruling over the kingdom, or for enjoying the luxuries that come along with being the rulers of the land. So, yatu rajya sukalobhena hantum svajanam udyata. So, because of driven by the greed for luxuries and kingdom, we have even decided to kill our own people. So we have decided to destroy the society, so it may not be the right thing to do. Then, verse number 46. Yadi mama pratikaram ashastram shastra panayaha Dhartarashtrarane hanyuhu tanme kshemataram bhavet. So he says, I am going to just put down all my weapons. And even if all the sons of Dhritarashtra, so they come and attack me, I am not going to even retaliate. I'm not going to even defend myself. So, Dhartarashtraha Rane Hanyuhu. So, even if they would attack me with all the weapons, let them come and kill me and let them suffer the result of their papa. So, if they come and kill me, then they are going to suffer the consequences. So, I'm not going to incur any more papa. So let me just keep quiet. Yadi mam apratikaram. So the one who does not retaliate, who does not even defend. Ashastram shastra panayaha. So without weapon. So shastra is weapon. There are two kinds of weapons. One is Shastra and the other is Astra. So Shastra means that which you hold in your hand. That is a Shastra. So a bow is a Shastra. And then a sword is a Shastra. And all those weapons you hold in your hand, which you do not release from your hand. So those weapons are called Shastra.
And those which you release, like a spear or like a javelin or like an arrow. So all those weapons that you release, so those are called astras. So he says sometimes shastra will include both shastra and astra. Both weapons held in hand and those are released also. Here he probably means it in that sense. So he says, I have dropped down all the weapons. Both those are to be released and both those which are to be held in my hand. So let me drop both of them. And let me allow these sons of Dhritarashtra to attack and kill me. That would be even better. So that I will not incur any papa. Dhartarashtraha rane hanyuhu tat me kshemataram bhavet. So in fact, that would be better for me. So that would be more helpful to me, to my long-term well-being. Then Sanjaya starts speaking. So all this is being narrated by Sanjaya to Dhritarashtra. Sanjaya uvacha eva muktva arjuna sankhye रथोपस्थ उपाविशत विसृज्य सशरम चापम शोक संविघ्न मानसः. सो एवं उक्त्वा अर्जुनः, सो हैविंग सेड ऑल ऑफ दिस, संख्ये इन द बैटल फील्ड रथोपस्थे उपाविशत. So he just collapsed. So upavishata means sitting down. But here we get the meaning of collapsing. So collapsing into the seat. So rathopaste upavishata visrujya sasharam cha chapam visrujya sasharam chapam shoka samvigna manasaha. So being overcome with grief. Shoka samvigna manasaha. So with his mind completely overcome with sorrow. Visrijya sasharam chapam. Just throwing down. Visrijya is not even placed, keeping down. So with disgust over himself, so he just threw it down. So like whatever a person does, so whenever he or she is overcome with disgust, so you just start throwing things around. So you are completely upset with yourself. So visrijya sasharam chapam rathopaste upavishate. So he just collapsed into his seat on the chariot. So Sanjaya concludes here. So this is the last verse of the first chapter. So in this chapter, so we see Arjuna's confusion. So we see, what the whole idea of this chapter is, to give us a context of the Gita. So in what circumstances Krishna taught the Gita, and why should it be important for us to know the context? Because each of us can relate to the context in some way. So we may not be fighting a war, we may not be standing on a battlefield. So, but we are all fighting our own internal battles. So we are all fighting our own emotional battles. We are all fighting our own psychological battles. And that is what the whole struggle of life is all about. So battles in the sense, so what are my priorities? So what is the purpose of my life? Why I am here in the first place? So you, all this becomes significant only when you start asking these questions. So if one is convinced that I am here only for all these satisfying my desires pertaining to this body mind, centered on this body mind, and at the relative level, so then I will not ask these questions about why I am here, what I am supposed to do, what is the purpose of my existence. So all of us, and Arjuna starts asking these questions. So what will happen to me after I die? So whether I can decide what will happen to me after death, whether I can prepare for a life after death. So all these ideas, or all these are the driving factors behind the life of an individual, at least in the Indian culture. So the other cultures may not give too much importance to all of this. But we do give importance to all of this because we look at this lifetime as a very small component of the larger journey of my evolution into a better individual. So that is why Arjuna is confused, and we can all relate to Arjuna. So in terms of having these questions and wanting them answered. So that is why the context is very helpful for us. Otherwise, it would be some teaching given by one person to some other person. So why should I be bothered with that? So it does not concern with my life in today's world. So that is why the Gita is always relevant for every human being eternally. So in whichever time the person lives, so whichever society, whichever era the person lives in, still the Gita would be relevant to that person. Because the problem of the human being, the primary problem of the human being, is one of being insecure, inadequate, incomplete. So I am not happy with whatever I am. I am not happy with whatever I have. That is the fundamental problem of a human being. So if I gain something, then that will give me the happiness that I am seeking. So, but the teaching of Vedanta Shastra, the teaching of the Gita, is that you are already what you are seeking. So that happiness that I am seeking through fulfilling various desires is already available within. I don't need to gain that happiness from objects outside of me. I just need to appreciate the happiness within. I just need to connect to the source of the happiness within, to that happiness which is my own swarupa, which is my own nature. So that is what the teaching is all about. So that is why the context, so the confusion, all of us go through this confusion at various levels. And we can, so the confusion that we go through as individuals and the confusion that we go through as a society, as a country. So at confusions at different levels. So all of that we can relate to. So that is the context of the first chapter. And after each chapter, we chant something. So we will look at the meaning of what we chant also at the end of each chapter. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambhade Arjuna Vishada Yoga Nama Prathamo Dhyayaha. So Om Tat Sat. So this is something that is chanted at the beginning and end of every activity. So Om is the Vedic name for the Almighty. Om is a very loaded sound symbol. It's a sound symbol. So when you say Om, then you are just calling out to the Almighty, calling out to Ishvara. So we don't, nowadays we see this visual representation of Om. In fact, that's a recent phenomenon. So the visual representation of Om is not there in the Veda, because the Vedas were always passed down as an oral tradition. So it was never written down. So writing down the Vedas is only in the last couple of thousand years. So before that, so it was just passed down as oral tradition. So Om is the name for Bhagavan. So we will look at the meaning of Om. So in fact, it can be understood in different ways. It's a very, very loaded sound symbol, very meaningful sound symbol. So we will look at the meaning of Om at an appropriate time. But saying Om Tat Sat, so is a habit that one cultivates. Krishna even talks about it in the 17th chapter. He says, whichever activity you perform, you just say Om Tat Sat. So then the activity gets purified. So whatever you do, so just say Om Tat Sat. Doesn't mean you should, even if you are do some corrupt activity, then you say Om Tat Sat and it becomes purified. But generally, so you do any activity with a good intention, then the activity becomes more effective if you begin and end the activity by saying Om Tat Sat. That's why in all these religious functions, when you give something to someone, some people say Om Tat Sat and then give it. So because that activity of giving itself is purified by saying Om Tat Sat. So because Om is the name for Bhagavan. So Om is the name given by the Vedas for Bhagavan. Tat Sat is that Om alone is the truth. That Om alone is Satyam. Bhagavan alone is Satyam. So the extension is that the world is not a manifestation of the Almighty. So Bhagavan has not become the world. But The way we look at it is, all that is there is only Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is not someone who is sitting somewhere and has created the world. But whatever I see, whatever is there in the creation, that is just a manifestation of the same Almighty, of that Almighty. So that is the attitude I have towards the creation. So everything in the creation becomes sacred to me. So whatever I see in the manifested universe, so that is worship worthy. That is why in Hinduism we can worship everything. We can worship a tree, we can worship a stone, we can worship an animal, we can worship an insect. In fact, we worship everything because all of them are only or just nothing but Ishvara. So the order, representing the Almighty in some way or the other. So anything in the creation becomes worship worthy. So Bhagavan alone is the truth. So whatever we see here is Ishvara, and whatever is all that is undergoing change, so that is sustained by Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is the creator, Bhagavan is the sustainer in the form of the order, the knowledge pervading the creation, and Bhagavan also resolves the creation. He is also the destroyer. So that's why you say Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su. So in these verses of the Bhagavad Gita, Upanishadsu, which is nothing but an extract from the Upanishads. Upanishadsu, Brahma Vidyayam, the content of the Bhagavad Gita and Upanishad is nothing but Brahma Vidya. And Yoga Shastra. So both are mentioned here. Brahma Vidya is the knowledge. And Yoga Shastra is the means for me to become eligible to gain that knowledge. That's why Gita is a very, very popular and significant text. Because the Upanishads go very directly to the absolute knowledge. It's difficult to connect to that abstract level. So, because most of us are not ready, so we need to prepare ourselves. So, Bhagavad Gita gives us both. The methods we need to follow to make ourselves eligible for this knowledge and the knowledge itself. So, Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. So, that dialogue which happened between Krishna and Arjuna. And the topic of the first chapter, Arjuna Vishada Yogaha. Here yoga has a different meaning. So here yoga means topic. Here yoga has different meaning in different places. So yoga is not just union. So yoga can mean topic also. So our yoga does not mean Hatha Yoga alone. So Arjuna Vishada Yoga. So what kind of yoga is that? So yoga of Arjuna's confusion. So that is why here yoga means topic which talks about Arjuna's confusion. So you can't do Arjuna Vishada Yoga. So like Hatha Yoga. So let me also get confused like Arjuna. So that is the last thing that we want to do. So again, the topic of Arjuna's confusion. Prathamodhyayaha. Arjuna Vishada Yoga Nama Prathamodhyayaha. So this first chapter. So with this name. So Prathamodhyaya. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.